Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Now let's begin.
Successful in life. We have our ideas of what success means. For some it's money, others it's creating something, and there are those who simply desire happiness. I suspect we all know what we desire, but sometimes get stuck on how to go about achieving it. Materially, we roll up our sleeves and get to work. Since we are both spiritual and physical beings, how do we go about manifesting our desires spiritually? Some pray, some chant, some meditate, and some affirm through daily affirmations. Well, in pursuit of that, I have invited the author of Dream So Big, A Parent's Guide to Helping Your Child Believe and Achieve, Krister B. Pearman, to Topically Yours for a second time to discuss his new CD, which consists of 25 intentional, subliminal self-esteem affirmations. And he's here to discuss his affirmations and how they've improved his life. And I also want to revisit his book, Dream So Big, A Parent's Guide to Helping Your Child Believe and Achieve, which highlights dream principles he's employed when raising his daughter, Raven Simone, to help her achieve her career goals. Well, you know, Raven is grown now and leading her own life, but that hasn't stopped her father from introducing those principles, affirmations, and achieving goals to the population at large. So if you want to read the book or get the CD, you can do so by going to dreamsobig.com. Krister is also a health and wellness coach, mentor, and motivational speaker. So we're going to touch on that today. And as I said, Mr. Pearman taught his daughter Raven to believe in herself and speak her mind. So she has certainly done that, unfortunately, to the consternation of some, but, you know, we'll touch on that later in the show. But anyway, I started off the show with one of Christopher's affirmations, I am beautiful. So let's welcome the beautiful Mr. Krister Pearman to the show. How are you, Krister?
I'm good, Deirdre. How are you?
Pretty good. Hope you're having a great day.
I'm having a wonderful day. Number one is because I'm on the radio with you, and this is our second interview, and the first one was just incredible, which I loved. But let me say this before I begin. When you gave them the website, it's important that they understand that there's dashes in between. Dream-so-big.com. That's dream-so-big.com, because the other one would take them somewhere else, and I don't want them to get confused.
Okay, so that's important, folks. You heard that. Put the dashes in between. And we'll mention that again during the show, so that at the end of the show we'll bring it up again. So you can get the book.
Okay.
And not only the book, the CD, and he also has A Dream So Big paraphernalia. I know you have your T-shirt. Well, is it a T-shirt?
T-shirts, hoodies, caps. That's bearing the slogan, I Am A Dream So Big, my I Am series. And with that merchandise, when purchased, a percentage of that goes towards my Dream So Big initiative, where I give the people, load a, what do you call those, preloaded Visa cards, a Dream So Big preloaded Visa cards, and I go out and give them to the homeless and the hungry to give them a little respect back again, to go into a store and be able to buy what they want to buy off their card. And I just felt that was a good way of giving back. And not only that, healing a part of our world. You know, Deirdre, our world is bleeding right now. It's bleeding. Okay. You know that. You know, sometimes we get lost into our lives and then between our four walls and we forget. But overall, the world is really bleeding, and homelessness and hunger is a big issue in America that, you know, that I just try to do my part towards. That's all.
Well, in New York, where I live, here on the West Coast, we see homeless on the streets every day in the trains. Practically live in the trains because at least that's a shelter to some extent. And they live underground, which it's hard to believe, but there's a whole civilization right under the tunnels.
Listen, not only in this country, but I've seen it in, I think it's in China or Japan, that they have whole cities underground because of housing. Thousands and thousands of people, and here too in America, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And you know what? These are still our brothers and sisters. These are still our family that's on this earth, you know. And so I feel for them, you know, I do. I really do. And it's not only single people, but families also in great numbers. So, you know, sometimes you have to pick something. There's so many things to help, or you may have empathy for. So for mine, it's the homeless and the hungry. And that's what I try to do with my I Am A Dream So Big foundation.
Well, that's definitely important because, as you say, it is a big issue. I know often on the train, they come in, they beg for money. And even if, you know, I have a few cents or a dollar or something, I try to give. And I notice who gives. It's amazing how it's the people that have less that give and the people that have more don't. I noticed that. Pay attention to that.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, and you can see a lot of that on YouTube, where they do these experiments, and it shows that the people with less than are willing to give than those that have more than. I wonder what that's about, Deirdre.
I'm not sure. Do you think people get jaded that have more? They get jaded and they forget. Where people who have less understand because they're just a step away from poverty. You know, all you need is to lose a job and you're homeless.
Yes, yes, believe me. It's like this. It's like you can go into a restaurant, and I know from experience, so I don't assume. During the manager Raven's career, Cosby Show, and Hang with Mr. Cooper, Doc Doolittle movies, and so forth and so on. That's a Raven. We can go into a restaurant. They would be more willing to give us the food for free than to give the spoiled food or the old food to the poor after the day is done. I mean, they waste millions of pounds of food. And for some reason, the policy is not to do that because somebody get ill and they get sued or whatever the case may be. But it was just so interesting to me that we would have money, but they were willing to give it free. But we, you know, a lot of times we didn't do it. But it's interesting. I don't know. Is it human nature?
Well, even on the train, they say, don't give money because you're encouraging people. And I'm like,
yeah, you don't want to do that. Don't want to encourage him to eat. That's the worst. Oh, my God. You want some water? Yeah. No. We can't encourage that.
Well, do you have in California, at least in New York, they do have individuals that come on the train with food, and they make the announcement, don't be embarrassed. We have food. We have this or that for you. Just speak up. And they have bags of food, which they distribute on the train. Do they do that in California?
Beautiful. I don't know. I don't know about the train. I haven't been on the train. We don't ride the train. Well, I can't say that. A lot of people ride the train. But I lived in New York, so I understand, you know, major mode of transportation. But no, I don't have the experience of knowing what's happening on the train. But I am sure that there are a lot of organizations here in L.A. that really, you know, cater to the homeless and the hungry, the churches and so forth like that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just trying to do my part. You know what? My thing is this. Let me tell you how I got here. You know, I've had a wonderful life, and I've been blessed. And I say that in my book and illustrate it and show it, not only how I made it, but how you can make it also. And I went through an experience that allowed me to see how the world really is. When you talk about the homeless and the hungry, and, you know, it can be, it's just a lot of negativity out here, a lot of negativity. And I was wondering to myself, how can I combat this? And, you know, Deirdre, the only solution I came up that came from my heart was the fact that everything that I do, just make sure that you have a positive vibration. Just make sure that you are doing something positive. Sort of like looking at the man in the mirror. And so if I want to be able to see a more positive world, I know and understand that I'm going to have to see it inside of me and to be able to put that out into the world. So that's the only solution. Now, if you think about it, you say, well, yeah, easier said than I don't know. I don't know. But if everybody thought that way, everybody thought about getting positive inside and then putting it on the world, this world would change in an instant. Even if it got to a critical mass number and it went, you know, and it started to evolve, this world would change right before our eyes. And that Eden that we thought is lost would appear instantly. But the understanding of that with people is lost. It's been lost for thousands of years.
Well, I think we've become too materialistic. But I also want to ask you, do you find strength? Do you think people find strength through adversity, that we're here for certain lessons and you can acquire strength through certain adversity?
Oh, well, absolutely. I think that's just life's nature. There's no way in the world you could ever experience a diamond without the pressure on charcoal. Nor could you ever experience gold if it was not for the exploding pressure and outburst of a star. So, you know, we're all a part of this thing called life. So, of course, that's going to affect us. We need to have some friction. We need to be able to have some of that friction against us so that we can get stronger and discover newer things, you know. So the answer to that question is yes.
Well, negative and positive to me are teachers. I mean, both of them are necessary in this life. It's the balance.
Teachers?
Yes, you can learn something from negativity, and you can learn definitely something from positivity. But you need to hone your character.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The many wonderful discoveries that we've found in the world today, a lot of them have come through mistakes or through hardships or causing a shift in thinking because of something is not working. You know, number one, like, hey, it's cold out here and this cold meat is getting on my nerve. Now the caveman needed to discover fire. You know, that tiger is coming at us a little bit too much at night. We need some light. So, you know, that's we need the negative to evolve. We need that. So don't look at it in a negative way just because it's negative. It's only negative because we label it in a bad way. But we need that.
Exactly. It's really our teacher.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
It is, isn't it?
Now, tell me a little bit about your background for the listeners, where you were born and raised.
I was born in Riverside. I was born in Riverside, California. I was an Air Force baby. And moved to Connecticut. Moved to Hartford, Connecticut. Actually, it's Bloomfield, Connecticut for the Connecticuters out there. Stayed there until I was 10 years old. And then from 10 years old through high school and college and so forth is down in Atlanta, Georgia. And went to Georgia State University under a criminal justice program. Was not feeling that. A few years later.
Was your plan to be a lawyer or a cop?
My plan was to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And as I got into it more and more, it wasn't that fun for me. Wasn't that fun, Deirdre? Wasn't that fun? But anyway, years later down the line, I had a child. And that was my first, that was my little mini-me. And make a long story short, because it's all in my book. I don't know how much time we have on the radio. But anyway, my child said I wanted to be on The Cosby Show when she was 2 years old. It was the most popular show in America at the time. Being my first child, there wasn't anything this child couldn't have asked me that I wouldn't try to give it to. I'm just that type of person. And so I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Now, her mother at the time and my mother looked at me with great confusion, like, has he lost his mind? You know, are they looking for anybody on the show, Christopher? And no. Have they anyone called you, Christopher, that Bill, you know? I said, no. But I believe. Long story short, we gave ourselves a year, quit our jobs, drove to New York. 11 and a half months later, we went out for a movie called Ghost Dad, starring Bill Cosby and directed by Sidney Poitier. And she didn't get that part, but the people came out and said, listen, we cast for The Cosby Show, Hughes Moss. Would you like to meet Bill Cosby? And the next day we met him. The next day is the rest is history. And so it's a story I want to put in a book to show that even though we're from Atlanta and just really down-home people, to have a dream, and to me it was a miracle. It was a miracle, and I never want that. I never want that to be lost in the annals of history. I really don't, because from a vision and from a dream, that picture came true. It wasn't only just Cosby; it's her own show. It's music, it's Broadway, it's this and that, which she has all conquered. And whether it's platinum or gold records on the wall, or even doing Broadway, that was all in a dream. It was a picture in your head, and we are beings that can take that picture out of our head and place it into our reality.
You wouldn't even have the telephone if somebody didn't have it in their mind at first. Everything begins in your mind, don't you think?
Oh, don't I think? Absolutely. I mean, the most amazing thing is that the cell phone was in the world with the caveman. And you would say to yourself, how is that possible, right? It wasn't like the cell phone was just popped out of non-existence into someone's hand. Where'd it come from? It came from a thought. And then from that thought came the way to use the materials on the earth. Now, the materials on the earth are the same materials that were a million years ago to make that telephone. So it was in the world. It just wasn't thought of yet. Thought brings it into reality, materializes it, you know. So it's important that our youth today, which are becoming so disenchanted, frustrated, they don't believe that dreams can come true. Well, they can. And it really has power when you say you have to believe. That's one of my dream catchers. Number three is to believe it. And then even going further than that, into knowing it. And I'll say believe it / knowing it, because let me give you an example. You can ask somebody, can they ride a bike? And they say, I believe I can. Then you can ask somebody, can you ride a bike? And they say, I know I can. The one that says, I know I can't, I trust them emphatically. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Because they trust themselves, believe they can do it. So they know they can.
That's right. That's right. So that's what my message pretty much is let's start now to go within and start to believe and get back the power, because there's no power greater than you in what you can do, because you share the ultimate power, that your soul, that energy that's there, you share that with that which is all over. You share that. So you are important. You are special. You are powerful. You are amazing. And our youth today and people in general just needs to get that back into their consciousness. But outside technology is taking it from us.
Is there a formula for success?
You know what? I would be I'd be straight lying if I would tell you, yes, and it's mine. But, you know, I couldn't even do it, Deirdre. You know what I'm saying? Because that was the perfect opening. Yes, yes, Deirdre, and it is mine for 1995.
Well, tell me what the principles are that you believe in, your dream catchers.
Let me answer the first thing you asked me. There's many ways to success, many roads. The success is it, but there are many roads. It's like there's many roads to God. You know what I'm saying? So there's many roads to success. But for me, the key is, the number one thing is focus. Now, I have my dream catchers, but they're basically a focus tool for the overriding big thing, which is focus. And anytime you focus your attention on something, it grows, it changes. Look what it does to plants, a plant that's being paid attention to and one that isn't. Look what happens to it. Even a child, they have studies of that, that paying attention is a very, very powerful energy that we have. We just have to realize it. Dreamcatcher 1, pay attention. Dreamcatcher 2, picture it, visualize. Dreamcatcher 3, believe it / know it. Dreamcatcher 4, get real. Dreamcatcher 5, heal fear. 6, get real. 7, do good. 8, be you. And in my book, I show you how to apply that to your life, to your dream, which is basically what? Having you focus in on it. The reason Raven is successful, reason Raven got that Cosby Show is because that's all we thought about. Didn't know it at the time, Deirdre, but that's all we thought about. We ate it. We slept it every morning. Michael Jordan. He said when he started playing ball, that's all he thought about. Focus. Focus. That's the key. One of the keys.
Now, one way to focus is an affirmation. I mean, would you?
Yes.
Sometimes people put on their mirror affirmation and they repeat it every day. Do you think
yes.
that repetition is the key to affirmation?
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. Absolutely. And this may get a little too deep or whatever, but, you know, we're dealing with a trifecta when it comes to our mental scenario, the conscious, the subconscious, and the superconscious. Our consciousness, our conscious is the doorway into the deeper meaning of things and the worker of things, which is the subconscious, right? And
right.
a lot of times things start to go into your subconscious and starts to bury itself in there. And I'm talking about seeds. Don't think that your mind isn't like a garden, okay? Don't think it's not. Remember we talked about that earlier. We're all under one energy, this one thing. So thoughts or people giving you a thought or words can be planted into your subconscious and be left there to grow. So if you're hearing a seed of I'm not beautiful and you've let that seed take sprout and start to grow, you're going to start to believe that. That's how you work. And then now you're not going to start seeing yourself as beautiful, which you are. The lie is that you're not. And you're going to be feeding off of that, and you're going to show what you're believing. And so you will start to be ugly to yourself, more importantly, than how you project that out. So it's very important, if once you understand that, that's how you work. Your mind works. Your subconscious works. And it goes deeper than that.
I want to say, when you're talking about beautiful, you're not just talking about the physical. You're talking about an internal spiritual aspect of it as well, correct?
Beautiful is beautiful. There's a beautiful flower. There's a beautiful fire. There's a beautiful, beautiful is beautiful all over. It's how you want to look at it. To one person, they may feel as though it's about their physical. And it affects everything about them. You can't change that about them. Another person is like, I don't care about my outside. I just want my inner side to be beautiful, healthy, whatever the case may be. Same thing. Seeds are seeds. So the thing is that if you do have those, and a lot of us do. A lot of us do. We grow up with it. We grow up with it. And it stays there. If you can replace them by positive seeds, positive words, when repeated or when heard. And with my CD, I give you 25 very, very positive seeds that you're going to be implanting into your subconscious, whether it's I'm beautiful, I'm confident, I'm wealthy, I'm healthy. You know, and so when you start to do that, and I put a beautiful lullaby track under it to put you into that total relaxed mode, because that's when the subconscious, everything is relaxed, everything is going in, and you're doing yourself just like eating great greens. You know, you're nourishing the mind with just good, good seeds. And again, that just keeps me in line with just trying to do something positive.
Now, you're saying an atmosphere is important when you're doing an affirmation, because you want to have a certain state of mind and a state of relaxation when affirming? Or can you do it anywhere?
You know what? Well, I designed my tape to put you to sleep. You know, I designed it that way. Like I said, it's a beautiful lullaby track. And I want you to go to sleep, because that's when the magic really happens. I've gotten so many people saying how they get up in the morning, they're so motivated, and they're telling me stories of things changing in their lives. And I know what that's about through my studies. You know, I understand. I listen to it every night myself. And I know how powerful it is. And you know something else that I added to it to really kick it up a notch? I stole that from Emma. Just so any copyrights with that, I just want to let you know that, is the 528 megahertz vibration frequency. And I have that infused into the music track. And that's a very, very powerful frequency. I mean, great priests and ancient people back in the day used to use that to heal, to get one to become closer to God. And scientists have even noticed that it has shown evidence that it has healed damaged DNA. There's a story out there where there had been a oil, and they used that frequency on it, and it cleaned it up. So, I mean, Google it. And I say this on my Facebook page all the time. I always take somebody's word for it. Ooh, yeah, he said, there's the technology today, which you can use. You can find out all this stuff yourself, 528 megahertz, what it does and how it affects the human being. I'm going to do everything I can in my power to uplift my brother or my sister, and I mean in all colors. And that's what my life is devoted to. So, of course, I'm going to try to use something as powerful as that 528.
Well, that's fantastic, because I know vibration is very important, but a lot of times people don't understand how to go about it. Like if the those that buy your book, Dream So Big, A Parent's Guide to Helping Your Child Believe and Achieve, it's not just for your child, it's for the parent as well. But how would they apply those principles? I mean, you explained what they are, but how would they go about it from scratch, especially somebody that's never done it before?
Well, the book is very self-explanatory. It gives you the examples. And you're right. You look at my book like this, and this is what I try to tell people. It's like when you're on a plane and you have a small child with you. They say, if – plane runs out of oxygen, the mass is going to drop down. Although your first intention is to put it on you, don't do that. Place it upon your child, then put it on you. And that is because you want to make sure that the child is taken care of first so that you can take care of them. You put it on you, you know what I'm saying? Make sure, put it on you before the child. I'm sorry. Put it on the, I'm crazy today. I'm
you have to understand it first to explain it to the child, right?
Right. So as far as the book is concerned, that's for you to learn. That's for you to learn so that once you find your success on working towards your dream or with them, you need that knowledge first. You are the teacher. So, and everyone has a dream, Deirdre. Whether the child can have it or an adult, the principles still remain the same.
Exactly. Well, what do you do when you meet people that are more negative than positive? I mean, they have to struggle to overturn their negativity. What advice would you give those people?
What advice would I give them?
I guess an affirmation would help.
Well, you know what? First of all, I wonder why the question like took me is because I have to find a lot of time people like to be miserable and negative.
No,
you know,
people.
You have to find, I mean, think about it.
I
know
some
people like
that.
Every day, it's like, isn't it a beautiful day? What's so good about it, Chris? You know, it's like, well, the sun is up, the moon. But some people like to be miserable, and they like to be negative, and they like to bring you into their negativity and stress
but do they
and strife
know
and all of that.
They don't seem to know that, though. I mean, I meet people that
no,
they
think
will pray.
It, yeah.
And after they pray, they say, but I know it's not going to happen. So you just canceled out your prayer. But they really want.
You sure did.
But they really want what they want. But they've established this negativity for so long, they're trapped in it.
Right. You're absolutely right. And the more you're able to have shows like this or let people understand and know, oh, you can come out of that. And all you have to do is change your mind. You know, change your thought. Change your thought. And then, oh, is it that simple? It really is. It really is. There was a time that I smoked a long time ago. And, of course, people who smoke, they're addicted to it, right? Addicted to it. And a lot of times they'll say, you know what? Until they change their mind, you can say stop smoking all day long, and that's true. The only reason I stopped smoking is because I changed my mind. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's the same way it has to be with people and the things they have to say. Look, I'm sick and tired of being negative, and I intend on being positive. And then start putting your affirmations and then start putting your into your subconscious those positive seeds, and I guarantee you'll change overnight. You know, because I did, you know. So, again, I'm not assuming. And I know other people did who bought my book or who listens to my affirmations. You know, they testified, you know, that it changes their lives. So, for me, that's like, that's a beautiful thing, D. That's a beautiful thing.
They have to go beyond thought. They have to take it to action and apply it. And that's work.
Yeah, yes, but you know what? That's part of the equation that I use, which is the creation formula, which is thought, you know, words, and actions. You have a thought, you speak it, and you walk towards it. That's no different than God saying, let there be light. There was the thought, there was the, and then there was the, and then it was looked at as just what? It was good, you know? So you
well,
have
the very
that in
first
you.
Line in the Bible is that the first line in the Bible says in the beginning there was the Word.
There you go.
I mean, that's the very
there
first line. I would have said myself that in the beginning there was the thought that manifested into the Word.
Well, now listen, you know, you it may say that, you know, because the Bible was originally what? It was originally Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and then Greek, and then, you know, so through translation, well, the Torah didn't change that. That would, well, now that's the Torah. So in the original, text and language of the Torah, it may say something different. I don't know. I don't read the Arabic or what that language is. But the bottom line is...
But we know that you can line up 10 people, and by the time it gets to the end of the line, it's not the same as it was in the beginning.
Now, listen. Now, that's very profound, dear. That's very profound, because think about it. So a story that was told 3,000 years ago up until now, do you think it's the same story?
I know it's not, because Pope Justin and Constantine, all those people, whenever a conqueror comes, they change the Bible to control the people.
Well, that is true. But that's, you know, that's history. We know that. That's why it was called the King James Version. It was King James Version. He had to do that because he wanted to get married or divorce one or the other, and the church wouldn't let him do it. He was like, I'm the king, though. They said, and we're the church. He said, okay, then I'm going to create the King of England, the Church of England, and which he did. And he said, I'm going to have my own version. That's why it's called King James Version.
Well, absolutely. And there's books in the Bible that they took out. I think there was a book of Mary. You don't see that in the Bible. And there are other books as well.
There was the book of Adam and Eve. There's the book of Enoch, which is a wonderful book. I got that book.
Mm-hmm.
There's many, many books that were written and considered for the Bible, but certain bishops or I don't know, kings, they decided.
Rulers of the time changed the Bible to their, you know, to their belief system.
But you know what? That's so difficult to talk about because so many people are locked into what they're locked into, and they would never believe that. You know, that conversation could become very heated.
Well, we get trapped into our mind, you know, our mindset. You know, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. I believe that. As you say, when you go to the divine.
Absolutely.
And none of them are wrong. Because I always say, what religion is God? That's in the end, what religion is God? So there's many, many, many roads to the divine, and I, whatever gets you there is fine.
Well, you know what, Deidre, that's so true. That's so true. And if you stay positive, because positive is good, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to steal from anybody. I don't want to. You know, and if we all live like that, it's good, right? I would think. But you never know. But anyway, let's get off of religion, though, because that, you know, religion, it hurt people. It is. Oh, my God. You got war, people dying, you know, for religion. I thought religion should bring forth life. But, yeah, it's a touchy subject. It's a touchy subject. Love is the key. Unconditional love, Deidre. Unconditional love. I agree with you 100%. Yes,
right.
Yes.
You can apply that,
yes.
And you're doing good.
Now, I think you're doing good.
I mentioned that as a parent, you helped your children. Because you have two children, right?
Yes, I did help them. I helped them to eat, to learn, to... No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. It was when you said that. You helped them. Yes, I taught them to play.
Well, you helped them by applying your principles that carried them into adulthood.
Let me say this. I'm not going to say that at the time my principles was right there. No. I look back, and hindsight is always 20/20, you know, and that's where I got it from. You know, to get my principles, I traveled the world and studied, like, people that did great things and just did a lot of study on it. I said, what is it that they have in common? What is it that's a common bond? And that's where I got my dream catchers from. And so when you apply them, and you can – it's very self-explanatory. For example, let's take pay attention, for example. Okay, if you paid attention to your spouse more than you do now and you're having problems, those problems would cease to exist. Okay? Some may be very deeply indebted, but there would be some improvement. guaranteed. Because the key is, especially when we're talking human being to human being, paying attention, that energy is very, very important for the vitality and the healthiness of that relationship. The example that I gave you about when you pay attention to a child and when you don't pay attention, how the difference is, it's no different than between two consenting adults being in love, and a lot of times it's so important that we pay attention, you know, and listen,
well,
paying attention, did you?
That. People want to be heard. They want to know you're listening to them, that you care. I mean, people crave that. We crave love as a human species, whether it's towards the child or spouse or even your animal. Everything, and even plants want love.
Wants love, wants attention. Because attention is energy. Attention is solid energy.
Focus.
Right? Let me give you an example. Have you ever walked into a room and you felt everybody was looking at you and the little hair on the back of your neck stand up?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a direct energy of attention. Okay? And that's real. You know, that's electrons bombarding you. That's deep. That's deep, you know. I just try to get people to understand that these simple principles are in fact very, very powerful. Very powerful. Because it's energy. Look how much energy it is to say, baby, I love you. You know, baby, you mean the world to me. And mean it. Oh, my God. Gives you such feelings inside. You know, it's like, whoa, I want more of that. So I guess that goes to your craving. It's like, can we do that again? So,
well, that's
you know.
What would heal relationships, which seem to be going haywire these days, too. There's such a lack of communication in the world. It's unfortunate.
Yes, yes. And it's because our technology. Yeah, and I'm guilty of it too, you know, but I do see it. A lot of times people walking down the street don't even look at each other and say hi anymore because they're down on their phone or their iPad. And when I grew up, you had no other choice but to say hello. You had to speak if you walk into your neighborhood. Hello, Ms. Johnson. Hello, Chris. You know, it was
exactly.
It's like, yeah, Chris, well, get over it, bro, because, you know, you're 155 years old. Get over it. I get it. But what I'm saying is you're missing out on something. They're missing out on something. I've had the beautiful ability to have experienced that. I don't know if the young people today or the future generation will, you know, because
well,
it was such a warm feeling.
People don't even have meals together like they used to. The family used to gather around the kitchen table.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
I don't think that happens as much now. Everybody's on the run, grabbing a sandwich or whatever, or even sitting at the table with their phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Technology is great, but it also has taken away. It's given and it's taken away.
And what did we talk about earlier? Positive and negative. It's going to always be that way. It's positive and negative. You got to stand above it. You got to look at it from a different perspective. Then when you see it differently, then it will start to change for you differently. Does that make sense?
I agree, because everything is perception.
It is. Everything. We look, for example, let's give a great example. One is, there was a time when people's perspective was that if you go out there on that boat, you're going to fall off the earth. They're like, ooh,
right?
How long have they been saying that? 200 years? Ooh, where you drop off to? And then they have a whole story about that. That happened for hundreds of years. That was for real. That was a belief that was real, but it was a lie. It was an illusion. Because when they saw somebody come over there, it was like, oh, my God, look at what? Did you know there was a story that they didn't see it? They didn't see anyone because they believed so much they couldn't be that they didn't see it. It was a shaman that said, there's something on that horizon. Do you see it? That was a story I looked at about that. I said, well, that's interesting how powerful a belief can be. But the world was, even though you believed it was flat, the world was still round. So that means even today, what are our beliefs that is so strong that we're not seeing something? that is that's veiled. That we have a veil. We don't know. They didn't know. We don't know. You know, and that's what life is was so interesting, because, you know, you go through the journey and you try to find, you know, that truth to you, a different picture, a different vibe.
Well, what is fact? I mean, fact is you get enough people to agree on a point and then it becomes fact until another fact disproves it and that becomes fact.
Isn't that funny? You know, for years, even with us growing up, we always saw the dinosaurs as big lizards, right? Listen, the Flintstones had the dino. You know, they were all lizards. What, a few years ago, they found out, they found a dinosaur and it had feathers, and it went, oh, we were wrong. We were wrong.
Exactly.
So, and it's like, what? You just can't keep changing my life like this. You know, so it's funny. You're absolutely right. Until they find it different, they're going to say this is the way it is. When in reality, no, I don't think I need to just take your word for that. I really don't, you know. Let me check it out a little bit more. Let me try to see it in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the bad thing about it is that those in control are not flexible. They're going to insist on that reality because they don't want to change it. That's what they know and that's what they've presented, and they'll fight to keep it, the status quo. And unfortunately,
well,
that's the way things are going, but... You know, it's up to the people, I say. It's up to the people. They have to focus and pay attention.
Yes, they do. They do. And, you know, my mother used to tell me this all the time. Chris, I'm old and set in my ways. And that's a very profound statement. So when you talk about those that are supposedly in control or whatever, and they're old school or whatever, and they're still subjected to that too. They're old and set in their ways. And so, no, they don't want to see change. They're too old. They don't want to see no change. But it's those that are younger or the future that has a problem with that, that it affects, you know. So hopefully one day as a people, as a species, we'll evolve more into that thought of, you know, we're all one. Let's stay on a positive vibe and, you know,
exactly.
Let's heal each other as opposed to hurting each
other. That's the one thing that is constant in life is change. We're always evolving and changing and
we're
adding
always.
New.
Yeah.
You know,
yes. And that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. You'll get me all off into that. Go ahead.
Okay. So I want to, for a moment, touch on your daughter. As you know, she's on The View. Now, the way I see The View is that everybody on The View plays a role. It seems like they have the conservative, and they have the scatterbrain, and they have the comedian. And is Raven playing a role on The View? Is her part, what would you say her part would be?
Part is Raven. I think you mentioned... But anyway, who's the scatterbrain? You said the scatterbrain. Who is the scatterbrain?
Well, they had, remember Elizabeth? They had Elizabeth and they had Sherry.
Oh, the scatterbrain. Oh, okay. No, I don't know. I don't know about that. I haven't managed Raven's career in over 10 years, you know? And so I'm so constant. Look, from the time this child was born until the Cheetah Girls, I did everything that was necessary and to make that happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was a manager and groomed her and so forth like that. Everybody knows that. But after that, you know, I'm like trying to create another thing that's, you know, that's positive, whatever. So the point I'm trying to make in saying that is that I don't know on the day-to-day basis of what she goes through and, you know, in terms of her career and so forth. So I don't know. I doubt very serious a role. Like me, with me looking at it, and I know Raven, I know that's just Raven, you know? She going to do and say what she going to do and say. And
I
don't know what kind of role that would be called.
Would you say, for example,
well, I think
she
we
said
all
about the ethnicity. I don't think she said she wasn't African-American. I think she just said that she was tired of the labels and she would rather just be labeled a human being. And I've heard lots of people say that.
Oh, yeah, because ultimately that's exactly what we are. But you know what? That type of controversy and stuff, I tell you, man, The View is trending on that stuff, I tell you. It was just trending. More, I think, than they had ever in quite a while.
Viewers. Right?
Say that again.
Media today seems to thrive off of controversy, and that's what gets viewers.
Absolutely.
So they love that.
And makes money.
It makes money.
And you pay dearly for that. Now, I'm not saying I know that they got some sort of deal together because somebody would make that clip. Oh, he says Raven is in cahoots with AV. No. I don't know what's going on over there. I just know it's been a firestorm the past few months. It's like, oh, my God. It's amazing.
And the girl can't say anything. Everybody keeps being up in arms, but really, there's growing pains, and who's to throw the first rock? I mean, we all have done stuff and said stuff that people have misinterpreted or got angry about, but life goes on. To me, it's not that big a deal in the scheme of things. I mean, we have wars. We have things that are a whole lot more important.
Oh, my God. And listen, 50 years from now, would it really matter?
It won't really matter.
I mean, come on. In 50 years from now, will James Fitzgerald say,
years?
You know what? Raven Simone once said she was not African. You know, I don't know. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, all this just really wouldn't matter. But the thing is though, and this is what I've always said, is when she made the notion that she would discriminate against anyone, caused me to rise up, because that what's wrong about that is that discrimination is wrong. So you never want to put yourself in a position of admitting to it, although it happens every day. But they don't say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't say, they'll be putting it, oh, look at them. She said, and you probably, the one who said, they probably discriminate every day. But that was a problem because you're admitting to something that is illegal. I never want you to be in a situation where it could be illegal, which means you will have to get into the legal system, and that's when you're in big trouble. That's when you really start to know that you are a black American, African American. You know, you start to see that really, really clearly because they have labels in their legal system. You know, they have to be.
Whether you want to believe it or not, you know, and maybe a lot of celebrities not ready for that. But celebrity, when you get there, people, they listen to what you say. You become, and maybe you don't want to become an example or a leader, but you do. So it's always important to think before you speak, because the world is looking at you.
And listening. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, you have. That's why I said that, you know, as far as discrimination. Yeah, that was bad. But, you know, and life goes on. They'll be on to another story. Oh, I'm sure she did. Every day. Every time a situation happens. She learns and
grows from it. Nobody wants to be hated. Everybody wants to be loved. But you learn from your mistakes, and I hope people will allow her to move on, you know, to grow. But let's move on from that.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about you as a health and wellness coach. Tell me, what do you do as a health and wellness coach?
Well, I coach health and wellness to people. You know what? It's so important for you to obtain a dream that your mind, body, and spirit all is working as one. You know, if you've got a car and your pistons or your carburetor is not working, that car is not going to respond and do what it was built to do. So it's important for your mind, your body, and your spirit to be chiming on all cylinders for that one thing, and that is for you to achieve your dream. And that's, for me, that's the most important thing. To me, it was like if I was to lay my head down and I knew this was my last day, I want to be able to say, I want to be able to have a smile. I want to be able to have, like, I did it, you know, because I know I got to go. I don't want to lay down there and go, oh, I regret this, or I wish I could have, and I whatever. So the most important thing to me, and that's because my daughter's dream came true, and that was my life, is for your dream to come true so that when that is your last day, you can lay your head down and say, you know what, I'm good. I'm good, you know. So it's about the dream. So
well,
it's about
here's another
dream
that you had recently. You mentioned that you have become a columnist. So tell me about that.
Vertical Life Magazine, yes. Online magazine. That's going to be bi-monthly. Look it up, verticallifemagazine.com. And asked to be a columnist in it. To do what I do. You read some of my stuff, my Facebook page, and my blog. Yeah.
Well, you're translating that to the magazine now.
Am
I? Is it going to be about positive thinking, about dreaming so big?
No. Absolutely. I mean, it's about motivating, inspiring, and uplifting. Whether it can be in a story that I have just for laughs. Or the reason why you are so great is because you're understanding that you know you are this incredible spiritual being. Whatever the case may be, it's going to have you leaving it feeling good about yourself and wanting to make someone else feel good about themselves. And if we're able to pay that good feeling forward, I think that's a good thing, Deidre, don't you?
Oh, I definitely do. And look at the perks. You went on a cruise to promote your book. How was that? Was that a lot of fun?
Oh, that was incredible. Yeah, that was sexy, though. That was so sexy. I thought that was the white linen. I love that. It was my first. No, it was great. It was great. It was absolutely, it was sunsets and how I love sunsets. So it was an incredible experience. Yeah, it was an incredible experience.
Well, you were able to sell your book as well, and did you do motivational speaking, or what did you do on the cruise?
I sold my book and spoke. You know, I'm a motivational speaker, you know, speak at colleges and conventions and so forth like that, so I put it all together, you know, when I do situations, speak a little bit and sell my book and meet the people and just network and feel the love, man, because everybody wants to feel good, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
now, listen, now I'm going to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question, Miss Deirdre. Now, you listen to my affirmations, and I'm just curious, putting you on the spot. What did you think of them, Deirdre?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. What was it again? I listened to your affirmation, and what?
And how did you feel about them?
Well, the way I did it is that I plugged in my microphone and I went to bed so that it could go into my subconscious mind. That was my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that what you had to say was because, yes, I want to feel beautiful. I want to feel knowledge. I want to feel all those things that you mentioned in your tape that, you know, I want to apply this to my life.
And it will.
It's a confirmation to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a confirming for me.
Mm-hmm.
That those things that I might have to think about, you know, you already put there. So it saves me from saying, okay, what affirmation am I going to write? They're all there.
Mm-hmm.
So all I have to do is plug them in through your tape.
There you go. So you enjoyed it. That's a wonderful thing. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Even though I might not have heard that you when you were asking me about it, but yes, I listened to it, and I do enjoy it, and I think it's worthwhile. And I do say to my listeners today, you should really buy the tape because. You know, like me, sometimes I'm like trying to think of, okay, what is it that I want? What is it that I want? We all want wealth. We all want success. We all want love. We all want beauty. We all want to create, and all of that's there.
Yes. Yes, we do, and we need to speak it. And that's why I start off each one with I am, because if you start to listen to it, you start to, that I am is directed towards you. So when I say I am beautiful, I'm expecting you to be saying in your mind, I am, I am, I am beautiful, I am confident, I am eternal, I am love, I am motivated, I am healthy. You know?
Yeah.
You can't, you just can't lose it.
You know, you're awakening the God being in you, because, I mean, that's another name for the divine. I am.
I'm just saying. And but I understand that, and that's why I say it, and that's why I have the 528. This is an incredible tool, a very powerful tool, just for the good of you. You know, I'm not trying to sell you cigarettes. I'm not trying to sell you drugs. I'm not trying to sell you. I'm trying to sell you. Not really sell you, but teach you. You are beautiful.
Right.
You are healthy. You are. That's all. And there's nothing. What I love about, there's nothing negative about it. There's nothing negative. There's nothing nobody can say, why are you saying I'm beautiful? You know, well, because you are, you know, why should I be confident? You know, I don't know many people that just would say that. But so they're good and positive seeds, and infused with very powerful meanings, powerful energy. And then you listen to it. You lay back 30, 60 days, you see a whole new world, I believe.
I'm a proponent of that, as you know. I'm a proponent of that. I just see it as, in my mind, I see soil. I plant my seeds. They all have a name, health, wealth, power, creativity. And I see the tree growing out of it. And each day, the tree gets a little bigger and a little bigger until the tree is me.
Isn't that beautiful? And that's why I say in there that I am a seed. You are the seed. You are the soil. You are the fertilization. You are the cultivation. How beautiful you are.
Or your harvest.
That's right.
It's your harvest, and it's your personal harvest. So I think that,
and don't
you want
sweet fruit? Don't you want good fruit?
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know anybody that says, I'd love to grow a tree full of rotten apples. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anybody I don't know a human being that'd be like that. And if they were a little off, and that's okay. But they're not in the majority. Most people are saying, you know what? I want to grow an apple tree with nice, ripe, sweet apples. You know, that's no different than your thoughts. You want a life that's sweet, beautiful, you know, fruit that you can partake of and feel good and nourished by. It's all related to each other. It all is. And with my affirmations, my book, and my message is to get you to understand that. And then once you do that and you start anew and you start to see amazing things.
Well, I look at it as, if you try to do something different, I mean, we get set in our ways. And if those things are not working, try something different. Try something new. Because if you keep doing the same thing, you get the same result. So it's time to change your mind. And you're right. It's the change of mind that changes everything.
We don't learn that enough.
They don't teach you that in school. That it's the change of mind. You know, that you are also a material and spiritual being. You're both. And so you have to nurture yourself both ways. And we need to learn that in our society.
Well, that's why I had said in Reaching for Your Dream, I said that it's important that mind, body, and spirit is just clicking on all cylinders. So you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I wanted to become a NASM graduate, more so for me. I wanted to learn about the body. I want to learn a little bit about the nervous system, muscle system, bone. You know, just a little bit. You know, I just wanted to enhance my speaking when I say to you how important, you know, your health is too. Because if you can get to your dream but not healthy enough to enjoy it, then what was that? Or if you're so unhealthy you can't even walk to your dream, what is that? What is that? You know what I'm saying? What is that? And now you're going to have yourself down and depressed and all of that. And that's not a good life experience. That's not a good life experience. You know, a good life experience is supposed to be full of love, comfortable, very positive. Of course, you will have a negative or whatever, but all of that, because when you start to get positive feelings, it enhances the body. It feels good. It starts to heal. Feeling good heals. They say laughter is such a healing thing that people don't even understand that. You know, I would tell
you
a story, but
get
it would be
bogged down. People get bogged down in the things that happen around them. But, you know, I always say, look at the people that pull themselves up from where they were to where they are now. And if it's a positive thing, if you came from negative experiences and circumstances, but yet pulled yourself up and became something completely different, that was because you had something inside of you, that energy and drive, that desire to change your circumstances. And I think anybody can do it.
Oh, of course they can. That's who they are. That's who they are. That's like saying to a rooster, I think the rest of the roosters can crow. Yes, because that's who they are. That's who we are, you know. That's our software that we bring with us here. And it seems like comes down to, like we said in the beginning when it said, and it was good. You know, when everything was, it was good, or I feel good. We're always chasing that feel good, you know. A lot of times they say people won't remember you for what you did to them, but how you made them feel, right? What you say to them, but how you made them feel. And it's like, it's these feelings is what we're going for. You know, whether it's we meet someone, we talk to them, we say, oh, my God, I want to be with them. Why? Because when you're around them, you have such good feelings. You know, or a puppy, good feelings, or a good friend, good feelings. There's a reason we have that, you know, and it's to enhance our body to become more healthier, to become a more or a better human being in terms of physically, you know, and inside mentally, and spiritual, all of that's important. And then for what? You have a goal. Now you have the ability to create of what you want to be. You said something very interesting. A person that can pull themselves up and become something else. That's what we do. That's what we do. You know, and then we get tired of that, we do something else. Most of my life was spent in trying to get my child to become who she is. Now I have to now become something else. I was Raven Simone's father. Now I'm Christopher B. You know, and look at this guy. You know, but I was always there. But now I have to evolve, you know, and it's difficult coming from there to here, but it's but what I'm learning through the journey, Deidre, is absolutely amazing. The things I'm learning is absolutely amazing,
and it's joyous. I mean, if you project that joy from your experience, you are a father, but you are now an author. And speaking of that, tell the folks where they can get your affirmations, your books, your paraphernalia, all those things that are going to make them dream big.
That is www.dream-so-big.com. dream-so-big.com. And you'll find everything there. Yeah, books are flashing, the affirmation is right there. You can actually go there and hear a sample of it, like what you did. And there you can either get the digital download or you can get the CD where I autograph it. And you can get the book there or whatever you choose. And just read it, and hopefully you're motivated or you feel good about it. Come join me on this journey because it's spectacular. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I love
and,
it.
And people can find you more about you on your website and Facebook or and now you're
Yeah, calling. Facebook. Yes, yes. It's, see, I'm blowing up. I'm blowing up, dude. Listen, look at this. Is I want you. That was the sound of blowing up, Deidre. I just want to let you know that. Yeah.
Is your book, I mean, is your column online or is it a mag? How would they
yeah, it's
find
on,
it?
It's online, verticallife.com, magazine.com. And, okay. And also I'm going to be in Ebony in January. Oh, my God. You know, it's like an iconic magazine, they did a article on me, so for about my CD, my affirmations, and my book, so that's coming out too, and that to me is
well,
a
see, now
serious
the ball is
dream.
Rolling
so
and it's just picking up moss.
Yes, yes, and you know what the most the one of the things that I highlight is would be high on my list is the fact of being on this show with you, because we found each other on Facebook. And we've had some interesting talks. And you are a very deep and beautiful human being. And I mean from the inside, is you are extraordinarily beautiful by your thoughts and the way you see the world and the things that you know. So I just want to give you props for that. You inspired me. You motivated me. And being here on the show with you, you know, I'm very grateful and honored, and I want to thank you for having me.
So it's been my pleasure, because now we're at the conclusion of the show. So I guess you said everything you wanted to say, or is there something you haven't that you would like to say before we bring this to a conclusion?
I don't want to show. I don't want to say any more because we've gone so long. You're gonna cut it anyway. No, just kidding. No, boys no more. I'm sorry. That's my dog. No, that's about it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the talk tremendously. Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
No, you're quite welcome.
And, no, I'm sorry. My boys are barking.
You're what?
My dogs.
And by the way,
I
love animals. I know you love your dogs, too.
Yeah, I do.
And, and he has beautiful dogs, folks. Used to be show dogs, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But they're retired. They're retired. Now they're just beautiful for me. Beautiful for me. Bless their hearts. But anyway, I enjoyed talking with you, and hopefully we can do it again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll take this to a newspaper next. But thank you for spending time with me and my listeners. You know,
I love it.
We had Christopher on to enlighten you. Yes. Christopher has enlightened us and inspired us and encouraged us, I hope, with some positive messages. So, again, I thank Christopher Pierman for being my guest today. And you've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler, and I'm thanking my listeners for making my topic topically yours. We're going to end the show with Roger Day singing Dream Big.
If you want to land on Mars, dream big. Be a rock and roller superstar, dream big. Find the cure to a rare disease, dream big. Learn to dance like a chimpanzee, dream big. It's time to sing loud. We're gonna sing loud, jump high, dream big. And if you wanna be a vet, dream big. Take love and care of everybody's pet, dream big. And if you wanna dig up the world's biggest dinosaur, dream big. And take
Gotta make it count. You get one life. You gotta make it count. You get one life. You gotta make it count. So dream big. Good things love can bring, dream big. And if you wanna turn your enemies to your friend, dream big. And if you wanna make sure hope never ends, we're gonna make sure hope never ends, we're gonna make sure hope never ever ends. It's time to sing loud.
You've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.